Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
I'm Jeremy Hobson, along with Peter O'Dowd.
And we're joined by Tamara Keith, NPR White House correspondent. Hello, Tamara.
Hi there.
We've got Mary Louise Kelly, NPR security correspondent. Hi, Mary Louise.
Hey, everybody.
And Tom Bowman, NPR Pentagon correspondent. Hi, Tom.
Hello there.
Mary Louise, let's start with you. Much of the last hour and a half or so dedicated to the issue of Russian hacking and its influence in the U.S. election. The president says that he has great confidence the Russians hacked the Democratic National Committee and that not much happens in Russia without Vladimir Putin. Did you hear anything new today?
I thought he went a little farther on a number of aspects than we have heard him before. He answered at length and was asked at length, as you noted. He tiptoed right up to the line of saying Putin was directly involved, said, I'm not going to go there. But he said, not much happens in Russia that Putin doesn't have his finger on. And he said, I'll leave it to you, the press corps, to decide. Do you think this is some other senior official in Russia who's going rogue? The U.S. intelligence community has attributed what happened to Russia, and Vladimir Putin runs Russia. So you do the math. He also defended his administration's response to Russian hacking. He said, we handled this the way it should have been handled. In regards to the big question, what might the U.S. do about it? He said, we handled it the way it's been handled. We didn't want this to disrupt the election in any way, and that was achieved. He said, that does not mean we won't respond. Doesn't mean we're not going to respond. And he said there will be times where we can describe to the American public how Russia will respond. There will be times when that message will be directly received by Russia. And he made a point. He said one reason the Russians are so effective at this is that they don't go around the world announcing what they do, signaling that perhaps things may be happening through covert channels, through cyber retaliation, and that he's not going to announce that in advance.
Tom Bowman, NPR Pentagon correspondent, what stood out to you in this news conference, which touched not only on the issue we were just talking about there, but also China and Taiwan and the war in Syria? An extraordinary moment, President Obama talking about the fact that he feels responsible for what's happened there.
Well, he said he feels responsible for that and for many other things. He talked about South Sudan as well, but he said, you know, the press really isn't doing much on South Sudan. Everyone's now focused on Aleppo. What I found very interesting was he said he's tried to work out an end to the civil war there. But he said, you know, another option or the other option is large numbers of troops. Now, his critics would jump on that and say, well, hang on a second. It's not necessarily that's the choice. You could have started a no-fly zone. You could have taken out Assad's air force to prevent barrel bombing of civilians. A safe zone would be another option. You could have sent larger numbers of special operators and Arab forces from Jordan and Saudi Arabia in to help out, not necessarily huge numbers of U.S. troops. And he was also asked about a safe zone. And he said, well, for a safe zone, and he's correct, that you need a force on the ground. And he said you would have to get permission from the Syrians and the Russians before you send troops in. The president just sent 200 additional American special operators into Syria. I don't think he went to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad for approval for that, or the Russians. And also, Turkey has sent a sizable number of combat troops into northern Syria as well, down to the city of al-Bab. They also did not ask for permission. So I think the president, it was really a false choice when he was talking about Aleppo.
Tamara, what were your takeaways? You've been following the president for some time at the White House. The president sounding a little wistful at the end of there as he was reflecting on the state of American politics.
Yes, he certainly was, which is to be expected as he's sort of winding down. He definitely seemed like he was he wanted to stay at that lectern as long as he could. He was not rushing out the door. The thing that really stood out to me, he was talking about Russia and the hacking and the election, and he said that Russians can't change us or significantly weaken us, that, America is a stronger country, they're weaker than us. But that he said that they can impact us if we lose track of who we are, if we abandon our values. And he seemed to be in some ways blaming the partisanship that has taken hold of the country for the ability of things like fake news to really take hold during this election cycle, for people to, you know, believe what they wanted to hear and choose their news sources in a way that he says made Americans vulnerable both to propaganda at home and maybe propaganda from overseas. You know, that is that focus on this hyper-partisanship and talking about it, that is such a departure from the guy who in 2004 said there was no red America, no right. blue America, just the United States of America. And then towards the end of the press conference, he tried to come back to that and say, no, I still believe in this vision that I had. But there is no denying that from the time he took office or from the time he delivered that speech that really brought him to prominence on the national stage to right now, that partisanship in America has not gotten better. It has gotten significantly worse.
Well, and he also said, just talking about the recent election, that he didn't think that Hillary Clinton was treated fairly and that the coverage of her and the issues, he said, was troubling.
Yeah, he did say that. Of course, the Clinton team believes that as well. They believe that, you know, sort of the focus on that WikiLeaks leaked these internal emails, but that the media had sort of focused on them, gave them oxygen, and almost did the work of the opposition. Now, he says that here is the president of the United States being critical of the American media. That is not dissimilar from what the president-elect of the United States does, which is constantly being critical of the American media. At times in this press conference, it was as if President Obama sort of wanted it both ways in terms of the media. And you know, he's had an interesting relationship with the press throughout his presidency, going from, you know, being this sort of golden candidate to not having a particularly great relationship with the press. There was a signal sent in this press conference. President Obama went out. He held a press conference. One question he answered for 20 whole minutes. While the president-elect has gone 141 days without having a press conference and has tweeted close to 1,500 times in that period, the president it was possibly, with this press conference, sending something of a message to the president-elect.
Mary Louise, one of the things that struck me was that the president was not completely dismissive of Trump's call with the Taiwanese president, which, as we know, angered the Chinese because it was seen as a potential threat to this longstanding one-China policy. The president saying that all foreign policy should be subject to fresh eyes. What did you make of that?
Yes, it was an interesting reflection. He described the process of coming into the White House 8 years ago, and he said you stay in here long enough and you start to think about things in a certain way, and there is a value to fresh eyes coming in and reconsidering where things stand and reconsidering new approaches to everything from Taiwan to some of the other issues they kicked around. I thought it was notable there were moments of humor in this press conference. John Podesta, Hillary Clinton senior advisor, his risotto recipe got one more turn in the news spotlight when Obama brought it up. He was criticizing reporters implicitly by saying you focus too much on the content of the emails that were leaked instead of focusing on the bigger issues at play in the electoral process and in terms of Russian intelligence operations. I have to say my Twitter feed lit up at that moment with a lot of people saying, but that risotto recipe was really good. So here we are talking about it again. There was also a moment of drama we should note. Listeners who've been listening all along with us know that there was a decent couple minutes pause in the middle where the president had to finish speaking and pause while someone who was unwell in the back of the room was seen to by a doctor and taken out of the room.
Tamara, have you ever seen anything like that happen before at a press conference?
Not at a presidential press conference, but there was a briefing a couple of years ago, around this time of year, actually, where an intern or someone visiting was standing off on the side and, you know, locked their knees and fainted and had to, you know, the press secretary went and fetched some water. So this was a packed room with a lot of people who were standing, far more packed than it typically is. And, these things happen. People faint at their own weddings, too.
What do you think the response will be to this press conference from Donald Trump's supporters, Tamara?
Well, I think that one thing is that Donald Trump's supporters would laugh at the idea that Hillary Clinton got unfair press coverage. They believe that Donald Trump is the one who got unfair press coverage. So there will be that. I think that, you know, there was some criticism of Donald Trump implied in some of the things that President Obama said. And I think that it could be taken as a slight of the president-elect, easily could be taken as a slight of the president-elect.
That's Tamara Keith, NPR White House correspondent. We've also been speaking with Mary Louise Kelly, NPR's national security correspondent, and Tom Bowman, NPR's Pentagon correspondent. Thanks to all of you for joining us.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
And you have been listening to live coverage from the White House, President Obama taking questions from reporters, probably one of his last news conferences as president of the United States. This is special coverage from NPR News. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Peter O'Dowd.